Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money
at Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 327 called Caitlin Trabert. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. All right, friends. So if you're listening to this and you are navigating an infertility journey or building your family through ART, come check out Fertility Rally. We have support groups. We have private Facebook groups. We have virtual and IRL events. And we have hundreds of members who get it and who are there for you and can hold your hand while you're going through whatever it is you're going through. It's the place I wish I had when I was going through my infertility and my miscarriages. And I invite anybody to check it out. You can always DM me on Infertile AF Stories or on Fertility Rally on Instagram if you want to check out one of our groups and see what it's all about. Or you can go to our website and join at fertilityrally.com. Okay, also exciting news. My second work of art children's book is currently being printed and it will be out soon. I can't wait for you guys to see it. It is called Beautiful Bird and it is another family building story through ART. So check it out. I'm going to start doing pre-orders very soon. You can get it through my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. And make sure to follow me on Instagram at infertileafstories because you will see the cover reveal soon and learn more about the book. And if you want to check out the OG work of art book, you can get it right now on my website at infertileafgroup.com. Okay, guys. Oh my gosh. Caitlin Trabert is a friend of mine who I met when she joined Fertility Rally. She is so sweet and so cool. And she has been through so much. And today she is telling us all of it from the very beginning, from how she's always wanted to have kids, how she married her high school sweetheart, and then going through multiple pregnancy losses, IVF, and so much more. You're also going to hear where Caitlin is today in her family building journey. So without further ado, this is Caitlin's infertility story. Hi, Caitlin. How are you? It's so good to see you, my friend.
I am doing so good. It's so nice to see you.
We've been talking about doing this for a while. I'm so glad that it's finally happening. So let's start with my first question, which I'm sure you know, because I know you listen to the pod, but have you always wanted to have kids?
Yes. Day one, like earliest things I can remember are being excited about my aunt being pregnant, and I was like in kindergarten, aww, like literally brought my little cousin to show and tell in kindergarten.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So like always have been the baby hog of the family. Yeah.
Okay. And what was your sex education like growing up? What did you learn about fertility, getting pregnant? And, you know, we talk about this a lot, as you know, I think a lot of us you know, we're given, done a disservice by being taught it's so easy to get pregnant. You can get pregnant any day of the month, no matter what. And obviously we know that's not true. So what did you learn?
Yeah, literally nothing. Very small town public school. And, you know, my parents were just like, don't have sex, right? Like, we go to church, we don't do anything like that. I even, like, it's a very vivid memory that on the day in health class that we were supposed to just talk about the reproductive system, my teacher was absent and there was a substitute, so we just read the book.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that was on purpose. It probably wasn't. But, like, I remember that.
They're like, I'm going to be sick that day. Yeah. What was the book? Was it
like just the textbook, you know, like that's chapter whatever.
Right.
Here's what a uterus is. So read that myself at like, what, 14 or something.
Okay. And did you have any inclination growing up that you might have some issues or anything with your fertility? Did anything happen in your family or, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, not personally. Like my periods were always regular. I never thought it was going to be a problem. I was totally scared. Assumed if I had sex, I was going to get pregnant, right? And it would be the end of the world, right?
Right.
Well, if I wasn't married and stuff.
Right.
I didn't think so. My sister had PCOS. We found that out when we were teenagers, but like I never had a problem. So.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Okay. So fast forwarding to after you got married, starting to build a family, talking about all the things, what happened when you really did start to try?
Yeah. My husband and I met in high school. So we've been together forever.
Same. We have that in common, as we know. Yes.
And we got married after college and we're like, we're not going to like try for a little bit. We're going to be married. Right. So we, after like a year or two, some of our friends started talking about having babies and we were like, okay, right? Like, and I remember when we were talking about that, I had like a month left of my birth control prescription before I was going to like have to go back for my gynecology exam. And I was just like, let's just like we'll just like stop taking my birth control and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's been the same since then.
Okay. So what happened? You stopped taking it.
Nothing.
And did you think like... Because a lot of us think this, I'm going to go off the pill the next month, pregnant, easy peasy, here we go.
Yeah, and I'm pretty type A, so I had already started like looking into it, and I was like, okay, it does say like maybe give your body a couple months, right, if you've been on the pill forever, and I had been since I was a teenager, so I was like, okay. But after a couple months, like I think that was in 2019, like early spring. By the end of the summer, I was getting worried, which I know in the grand scheme of things, not that long. But to me, it was really the first time I tried to do something and it didn't just work.
Right. So was that hard for you to wrap your head around?
Very.
Yeah.
Went totally into, after about 6 months, I started getting worried and was like in the research rabbit hole of like what could possibly happen, right? Like, assumed there was something wrong with me, started thinking more about, oh, well, my sister has that. Maybe I have something, you know, should I be changing my diet? I started, you know, got the basal body thermometer, right? Doing all those really expensive ovulation kits.
Right. Where were you finding your
husband?
Where were you finding your resources? Just online, Googling it and stuff?
Just the internet. Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever think I need to go see a specialist? And did you get checked for PCOS?
I didn't think totally that I needed to go to like RE yet, but I did reach out to my gynecologist after a while. And she, because I was 25, she was like, oh no, like you have to wait a year. Come back in 6 more months and then we'll talk. Like would not even talk about it. Mm-hmm. Would not have an appointment, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel so conflicted with that because I get it. Like 25 is so young, but like that whole like black and white rule where like it has to be a year, I just feel like that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah. And that's definitely how I felt. And then a few more months went by and I was like, some things like my husband and I are very healthy people. Like we, you know, we're doing all of the things, right, that the internet says. And now by this point, some of our friends are getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Like,
how did that feel, Caitlin?
Oh, awful.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I started digging a lot deeper. That's when I found your podcast. I
found
the Instagram community, right?
Yes, you know, yes.
Okay. If there's a thing, right? Like if there's something wrong, maybe there's a, there's other steps, right? Like I could do something else, but needed to get that appointment. So I was getting ever closer to my 1 year mark.
Mm-hmm.
Had an appointment booked in March of 2020.
Mm-hmm. And oh my God.
Yeah, right.
That date gives me like PTSD even hearing March 2020. I know.
Literally, like got sent home from work, right? That Friday or something, was supposed to have an appointment a couple weeks later. And I got my first ever positive pregnancy test.
Okay.
Like, oh, okay, right? Like, the world is funny, right? Like,
right. What was I thinking?
Right.
Right. We did it.
We did it right in the year mark, right?
Right, right, right.
And then that was, you know, that pregnancy did not last. I miscarried a couple days later.
So sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in peak pandemic. We're, Cody and I are home by ourselves, like not knowing what do we do, right? Mm-hmm. Do we tell people? Do we not? They're just like literally alone and like going through this as we get to like Easter weekend, you know, the first holiday we're going to miss as a family. And we're just like at home sad.
Right.
And my doctor basically was like, well, now we know you can get pregnant. So go try again. And she was like, and unfortunately, you got to start the clock over at a year because you got pregnant. So I was like, oh, so I have to wait till next March.
Oh, wow.
Do any tests? She said, yep.
Okay. Okay. But they didn't have any indication of why you lost that pregnancy, right?
Nope. It was really early, happened at home, and they didn't really do any testing. So she was like, that happens. Like, I'm really sorry, but try again. So we did. Got pregnant again in September. Same thing. So same year over Labor Day weekend, lost that pregnancy within that same week.
I'm so sorry. How did you grieve these losses? And like, what kind of effect did it have on you guys, you know, your relationship?
I honestly don't think I did these first two. The world was isolated and you know, we wasn't working. We weren't seeing people and we just kind of put it in. I mean, we did end up telling people, but it wasn't like something I, you know, even thought. I was like, oh, well, this happens to people, right? Like, you don't talk about it. And I just kind of stayed in and like pushed it down, compartmentalized that box. And now I was on a mission. So like, I was going to get pregnant and I was going to figure out why I wasn't staying pregnant. And I didn't really allow myself to, you know, grieve or go through the process, or I really distanced myself too from even being like, you know, able to connect with those like babies. And just like, it was really hard to have that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned your friends, you know, getting pregnant around you. What effect did that have on you mentally? Because I think that it's obviously, it's so hard. You feel like you're getting lapped or you feel like you're getting, you know, left behind. Did you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I think across the years of our journey, I think my friends had 11 babies, like my very close friends. And I remember how I found out about every single one of them, like where I was in my house or where we were. And like, they're definitely very like, not that I was upset with them. Like, I'm thrilled. I love all of my friends' kids. They're amazing. But, you know, sad for me that that's all I've ever wanted. I knew I wanted to be a mom before I knew what I wanted to do as a career.
You brought your cousin to show and tell.
Yes, right? Like, I just knew I wanted to be a mom and it wasn't happening.
Yeah, it's so hard. And, you know, you make a good point that it's okay to be sad for yourself and happy for someone else at the same time. You know, that's a hard thing for us to sometimes wrap our heads around, but I think that it's so true. And like, you can love your friends and be thrilled for them, but inside devastated at the same time.
Oh yeah. Really had to lean into that. It's like, I can be happy that something good, I don't want them to have right miscarriages, but I'm also sad that I am.
Right. Okay. So what happened next?
So then after two losses, my OB did agree to do some testing. So we got the, you know, blood work done and they did, I don't know if it was like an HSG or something to see if my tubes were open. All the things kept coming back, nothing. And then she was like, well, let's do the carrier screening blood work for you and your husband. And that is when we found out my husband has a Bounce translocation.
Okay. So for people who might not know, can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So basically when his genes were coming together, two of them split like evenly and reattached to themselves. So for him, it's balanced and he's fine and normal and it doesn't affect him. But when we try to conceive, oftentimes our genes don't match up correctly. So there isn't a balance. It's like less than 25% chance that it'll be balanced and also, you know, carry that trait or be totally normal and get the good pair from both of us. Mm-hmm. So once we found that out, we were really nervous.
Did they give you like a treatment plan and say, okay, so we know this is part of the problem.
Yeah.
So here's what you're going to do.
Yeah. We went from zero the whole way to IVF real quick after that. That was in like November and met with my OB. She was like, this is now outside of what we can do. And she explained, like, you can keep trying. More than likely, you're going to keep having miscarriages until one might work out, but odds are not in your favor at this point. And she recommended that we go to a fertility clinic from there.
Okay. So making that pivot and it's like the next big step, how did that feel?
Honestly, kind of good. Because I assumed that something was wrong with me. Not that something's necessarily wrong with my husband. That's just, so I was like, okay, now we know, right? There's a concrete thing and there's something that you can do about it. Mm-hmm. And a little bit naively was like, well, we'll do IVF and we'll have a baby.
Right. And did you think, because I thought this, the IVF was a guarantee. It was like, oh, I had no idea that it couldn't work in certain circumstances. I just thought, oh, great. That's okay.
I mean, by that time I had started listening to you and like been in the community and I was like, well, it doesn't always work. But like, I was always like, I don't have the problem. Right. So like, I feel bad thinking this now, but like, I don't have PCOS. I don't have endometriosis. My body should work. Right. If we get the right embryo.
Right.
It's going to be perfect.
Right. Okay.
That's not what happened.
Right. So tell us what happened once you guys started down the IVF road.
Yeah. So the next year, then I think February 21, we went to the fertility clinic, started doing an egg retrieval. And I remember waking up from my first egg retrieval and the doctor coming over and saying, you were the egg winner today.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I was like, yeah, I had the
You're like,
egg.
Yeah, of course I am.
We're going to have a baby, right?
Yeah.
I had 38
I'm the
eggs.
Best.
Yeah.
38? Shit.
Yeah. I was like, this is great, right?
Yes.
Like, nothing bad will happen. And then, like we know, the funnel starts happening and you get a phone call and they're like, well, only like half of those were mature and then only like half of those fertilized. And then there were only two that made it to blast. And we have to do PGTA testing, which is like the most specific genetic testing you can do to test for the translocation. And I got a phone call, 2 weeks later, none of the embryos were normal. So both of them had
a gut punch. And was any of this covered for you by insurance? Were you paying out of pocket? What was your situation financially?
Thankfully, we had some insurance coverage. It covered $10,000, but that's about less than a round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even half in most cases. Yeah. That's like maybe like it covers the meds and maybe some of the testing.
Yeah.
It just depends on your clinic and all that. But yeah.
Yeah. So we were grateful to have that, but that we also knew, like, well, if we have to do this again, we're already at our max, like, we're not covering anything. So we,
right?
Yeah, I was devastated. Like,
I'm sure
getting the zero. I really did not think it was going to be zero.
Right. I mean, that is something again, like people don't expect, and you're just like, wait, I just did all this for nothing, like nothing's yeah. coming out of it. So how did you handle that devastation and that like gut punch?
Then I did kind of start leaning into it and being like, okay, like I'm a part of this community now. Like I really was holding myself on the outside and being like, well, it's going to work the first time. So like, I don't need to like reach out and get support or like talk about it. Right. Like mm-hmm. it'll work. And then I won't need to. And I was like, no, I'm not okay. This is not good. And I joined Rally right around that time and started.
Yes. I looked back. I think you joined in like spring of like 2021. Does that sound about right? Okay.
Yeah. That's right when we did that first round. And
yes,
honestly, like that was the best thing I've ever done. And not, I mean, you know, obviously I'm saying that to you, but like for real, I've met real people that are still my friends, right? That
no, I know.
Life that I talk to have the real so phone good numbers.
Right. It's so good to hear. And we've gotten to hang out, you know, it goes beyond the Zoom calls and, you know, this is friends for life, you know, that bond that you have with not just Rally people, but anybody in this community that you've bonded with, you know?
Yeah. It's just, and the, you know, deep dives on Instagram and just being friends with.
I love that you're like, I have real phone numbers.
Yeah. Right. Like real
life. It's true. I was just texting with another Rally member this morning about something else. These are real people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think that the zero, that really was like, okay, like I need help and, you know, I need the support and that was really helpful.
Yeah. So what did they tell you medically, like what you could do, like do another round, obviously, but was there changes that were going to happen to your protocol?
They said that happens sometimes. You don't have good odds. Let's do it again.
It's bad luck, Caitlin, right? Did they say that? Did anybody say that to you?
It's just bad luck. The going from you're the egg winner to you have zero embryos, the like whiplash of that is just like the worst, right? And that just, I feel like continued to happen throughout my journey of here's this tiny sliver of hope and now it's gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah. They're like, Caitlin, stand on this rug and then we're going to pull it out from under you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All these little glimmers.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I was supposed to do. This is going to work. Just kidding.
Right. Okay.
But so just do it again.
Yeah. Just do it again. Bad luck. So round two, what happened?
We debated a little bit about, you know, going right into it or waiting, you know, what we were going to do. We're going to just keep trying. And we decided we were going to wait a little bit, save a little bit of money, try to do it towards the end of the year. And we went on vacation and we're like, we got to like take a break, right? Kind of like bond together because it was really hard. Luckily, I think honestly, overall, IVF has like really strengthened my relationship with my husband. But there's always moments, right, where like it's just hard. Hormones and it's just not always on the same page. And
money. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're like, we got to go to the beach and have a minute and came back from the beach and I was pregnant. So it's like, okay, are we the people who go on vacation and get pregnant after they did IVF? It was like, that happens.
Yep. It does happen.
Mm-hmm. But of course not. Right. Mm. So unfortunately, third pregnancy ends in miscarriage. And this time, I was getting my betas and they were going up and down. So the doctor actually was like, might need to come in and get an ultrasound just to make sure it wasn't ectopic or anything. Thankfully, it wasn't. But that's the first time I had to go somewhere. The first two, they happened naturally at home. Yep. I was able to pass them, no problems. Mm-hmm. So went to the emergency room. Still peak COVID, waited hours and hours to get an ultrasound and them to confirm, right, that I'm losing the baby.
Rough.
Yeah. And the worst part of that day is that wasn't the worst thing that happened that day. My mom kept calling me that day. And I'm like, I'm not answering. I'm in the emergency room and I didn't want to tell her. It's like, I'll tell her when I know I'm fine. She just kept calling. And my mom is a person who's like, assumes the worst if you don't answer. So it wasn't unusual that she called multiple times. Mm-hmm. But when we finally did call her back, she told me that she had just got diagnosed with breast cancer. So it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like the worst day I had ever had.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news? We don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Okay, guys, so here is the very exciting news. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code INFERTILEAF at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com and use the code INFERTILEAF for 15% off. Thanks, Happy Mammoth.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/BBM or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/BBM.
That was tough because then we had to tell her, you know, what was happening. So that was a really hard day. But like I do, I went home, went to bed, and I went to work the next day.
Right. Right. Because you are, that's the kind of person that you are. And you're like, all right, I'm strong. I'm going to get through this. Keep going.
Yep.
So were you guys like, all right, we're going to do another round now? Or did you need some more time to kind of process? I mean, this is all, I know your story has spanned several, you know, years all in.
And yeah, we're pretty far in at this point. And like having the third loss, we're just like, we want this so bad. And you know, I talked to my RE and he was like, I'm sorry, but that's going to keep happening. Like, you really should not be.
Okay. So you're going to keep getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was like, obviously a miracle could happen, but he's like, my advice is really you should be on birth control unless you're doing an IVF cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. So we like, well, we're going to do it again. Figured it out. And in September did round two. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we got four blasts that time.
Mm-hmm. And
two of them came back normal.
Okay. And you said you hadn't changed your protocol, didn't do anything different. Did you do anything like lifestyle wise different, add anything into the mix or anything?
The first round I did like all the things, right? The pineapples, the pomegranate juice, you know, I was trying to eat healthy, extra, all the things. Second time I was like, okay, well that didn't work anyways. So I was still doing like medium level infertility stuff, right?
Right.
Still drinking the juice, eating the pineapple, wasn't taking crazy supplements or anything. The only thing we did differently is we stimmed a little bit longer because my like half of my eggs weren't mature the first time. And he was like, for you not having any other problems, that's a little weird. So maybe we should try and get them to grow a little longer and maybe they'll be more mature.
Okay.
That actually didn't work. But it still was about half from retrieve to the mature, but we ended up with two.
That must have felt kind of like a win, right?
after all these losses and all these setbacks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely a win. We were excited and optimistic a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still, you know, at this point, I was like, I know stuff doesn't always go well, but like, we've never made it to this point before.
Right.
So hopefully, right? Like, we're going to do a transfer and maybe it'll work.
Okay. And were they saying frozen transfer? Like, was there a certain amount of time you needed to wait, or what was the time frame?
Yeah, we did a frozen because we had to do the testing. So the retrieval was in September and we transferred in October and it worked.
Yeah. So tell me about that whole experience and, you know, just the pregnancy after losses too, which has its own bag of anxiety.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't totally understand when I heard other people say that. And it's so true. It's so hard to really believe in your body when it's failed so many times. Even when you've done the things, right? Like, even when you've used science to put the baby in there, it doesn't take away any of the past losses or the fear. And I was scared the whole time. We had a little bit of bleeding at first, and I was like, well, it was around the same time that I had had my other losses too. So I was like, oh, even this isn't going to work.
Right.
But this time we went, got our ultrasound, and there was a baby in there. And mm-hmm. I saw a heartbeat for the first time.
Right. And you'd never been to that point before. No, you'd never gotten far. That must have felt amazing.
It was the best feeling.
I just got the chills.
Yeah. It was the best feeling I've ever had. And they explained that like bleeding's actually kind of common, especially with all the meds you're taking and in pregnancy in general, which I did not know. I did not know you could have normal's a terrible word to say about bleeding, but kind of normal bleeding in pregnancy that doesn't mean the baby is gone.
Absolutely. Because I think so many of us, most of us, including myself, probably think when you're bleeding, it's a miscarriage or leading to one or, you know, something's wrong.
Oh, and 100%.
It's so scary.
The fear of peeing and going to the bathroom and looking and like seeing blood or just waiting to see blood was the entire pregnancy.
I've talked about this before, but I remember like when I was pregnant with Sunny and wiping and just being like, please no blood, please no blood, mm-hmm. please no blood. It's terrifying. Yeah. And that I had that even after I had him, I still had that thought. Like it's just like triggering.
Yeah. It's hard to think that every time you go to the bathroom, which is a lot when you're pregnant.
Right. Exactly. So how did that progress? And were you guys doing anything, you know, kind of differently, taking it easy, taking any more supplements or progesterone or anything like that?
Yeah. Luckily after like 7 weeks, I didn't have any more bleeding. We did our second ultrasound with the clinic and graduated to our OB. And, you know, at 10 weeks stopped all the medication and it progressed like a totally normal, healthy pregnancy. We made it to 39 weeks, ended up having a C-section, but Parker Jane came into the world July 11th in 22.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And were you able to relax at all before that? Like, or was it like baby in arms? And then you can finally be like, okay, breathe.
Yeah, no relaxing happened. I was afraid to have a gender reveal. I was afraid to have a baby shower. We did at the insistence of my family, which like in hindsight, I am very grateful for, but I was terrified. I was like, I'm going to get all these presents and have to return them.
Yeah. That's legit. That's a legit concern. Yeah.
My mom bought us a crib, which was a wonderful gift, but it showed up on my porch and I bawled. Because I genuinely thought I am going to have to return this crib.
Yes.
And that I hated that that was my thought and not happy that I had a crib in my house.
I know. Yes. Well, one of my favorite things about Rally babies being born healthy and coming to this side is we get to send everybody Rally onesies.
Yeah.
So you got one of those, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Oh, yeah. And they say my mama rallied for me. Yeah. They're really cute. And there's been so many, thankfully, so many fertility rally babies since we, you know, launched in 2020, including yours. So I know that's not the end of your story. Yeah. What happened next?
Yeah. So we had Parker and she was wonderful. And, you know, all of the infertility things weren't, you know, cured.
Right.
I kind of thought like, oh, well, I have my baby now. I remember telling my husband, well, after we have a baby, then we probably don't need to do IVF again because we'll just keep trying. And if we have miscarriages, like, you know, it'll be okay because we'll have a baby. That was like the craziest thing I've ever thought.
Yeah. Right.
Not true at all. It's still a worse thing. But we were super content with Parker. She's amazing, great baby. We were very lucky.
Yes. Did you guys know that you wanted to have a bigger family beyond her?
Yeah, I had always wanted to have at least two kids. I have a sister and I loved that. My husband, two siblings are significantly older. So he always really wanted to have someone a little bit closer to his age because he didn't really have that. So yeah, and we had the other embryo. And obviously, we were going to have two kids. It was going to be perfect.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So interestingly, though, after I stopped breastfeeding, I kind of like wasn't super regular with my period, which is normal. And we got pregnant again, not purposefully, which in hindsight seems like so dumb. But we did. And we thought it took us forever, right, to get pregnant. Like, we're not going to get pregnant again. And unfortunately, that baby stuck around a little longer. We also lost that baby.
Oh my gosh.
And this time I had very significant bleeding that just wouldn't stop. And I had to go to the emergency room and get a DNC for that, which is a lot more work when you have to tell someone that to come watch your child.
Right.
I hadn't. Like, we were pretty early still. I hadn't told anyone I was pregnant. And now I had to call my dad and say, hey, I was pregnant. I'm miscarrying. I need you to come watch Parker so I can go to the hospital.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, too, as a dad getting that call? Like, just your heart has got to break into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, thankfully, right, like, he was available and, you know, came and had Parker and we had the DNC. And luckily that, you know, went okay. But, you know, that really was like, well, I definitely want this. Like, I wanted that baby.
Yes.
But now we're on, you know, one baby, but five pregnancies.
which is a lot.
And
So,
and by this time, a lot of our friends are now on their second, if not more, child. And the day that I went for my DNC, one of my best friends had her second baby, like, texted me the picture of the baby while I'm like bleeding. And like,
I love this child. Of course.
But it's a, like, I remember her birthday as a really sad day for me.
Yes. All these milestones and all these triggers, you know, those are real. And, you know, it's like these core memories.
Yeah. So much, right, of the, like, positive and negative together, which is
really it's so hard. Complicated. Yep.
So we took a while and we're like, okay, well, maybe we're not totally ready yet. That was a lot. We're good with Parker. And then the next year, so last year, we were like, okay, we're going to gear up. We're going to do transfer. We're going to transfer that embryo. We knew it was a boy. And we were like, we're going to have a boy. And that one didn't work. It did not stick around at all. Didn't take. And that was
another
hard.
Yeah, another blow that you're not expecting, right? Because it had happened with her, obviously.
Yeah.
And yeah. So how do you navigate that emotionally and mentally?
I kind of like science brained of like, okay, my RE is telling me like that just happens. We know you can successfully have a baby, but I guess the odds are like 1 in 3. Like, if you have 3 embryos, you kind of have a good chance of having a baby. So, you know, 1 for 2 isn't bad, basically, is what I got from him. And I was just like, okay. And it just didn't stick. So I was like, it's still a loss.
Yeah.
But it was kind of hard to be like, it's not the same thing as a miscarriage, but like it basically is to me, right?
I always say a loss is a loss is a loss.
Yeah. It was a baby I assumed was going to happen. Like I pictured having a
boy. Absolutely. And it's the loss of a dream. It's the loss of how you thought your life was going to play out.
Yeah. And by this time, lots of things were changing. I had left my job a couple months before that. Things had just gotten a lot with having all of these losses. My mom being sick, thankfully, mm-hmm. she is better. She's mm-hmm. in remission.
Good.
Yeah. So she's doing great, but she wasn't. Both of my grandparents passed away. It was just, mm-hmm. it was a lot. And my job was pretty overwhelming. I loved it, mm-hmm. but I left my job and took a part-time job. Luckily, I'm a counselor, so that is a feasible option for me to
right.
part-time and still do what I like. Mm-hmm. So that worked out. I was like, okay, we have time. I have flexibility in my schedule. I guess, you know, we had to talk about it. We talked about it a lot, but I guess we're going to go do another egg retrieval.
Yes.
I know. Last time it took two, right? So right. I was like, do I need to think we're going in for two again, basically?
Sure. Yep. If you're using the stats, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And amazingly, it was the best round we had ever. I got and I did nothing. I did not eat anything good. I drank none of the things. I was not exercising. It was the heaviest I've ever been. Mm. did none of the things.
It's so crazy how that happens.
And we got three. Yeah, May last year.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, okay, this is great. And we previously had planned our dates a lot around our schedules, right? Uh-huh. My work schedule, my husband's work schedule. My husband has a full-time job as an engineer, but he's also a college golf coach. So there's a lot of traveling and mm-hmm. seasonal things. And we naively were like, well, we'll pick dates that work around our schedule. And by this time we were like, no, we're just doing it so that we can do it. You know, we met our deductible and out-of-pocket maximum. We're mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah. You're like, it's either going to happen or it's not, and we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, all right, it doesn't matter what the date is. We're doing the transfer. She did transfer in July. We thought that worked. Got some positives, right? Got some great betas. And then they weren't doubling. They were so close to doubling, but not quite. And everyone's like, oh, that happens. That happens. It's so close. You know, it's good. And we went to our first ultrasound and there was a sac, but no baby and no heart.
Oh, another blow.
Yeah. And I remember being in the car and my husband just being like, I didn't even know that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
How is there another possible outcome besides mm-hmm. have the baby or it doesn't work? How is there you're kind of pregnant, but you're not?
Right. Yeah. Such a good point. Yep.
Yeah. And being like, now what? So we had to decide, are you going to let it just happen at home? Or are you going to take the pills? Or are you going to go get a DNC? And of course, you don't want to have to make that choice based on your work schedule or your childcare situation. But it was a Tuesday and my husband was going to have to leave for the whole weekend that Friday. And I was like, well, I can't wait to get in to get a DNC in case they can't get me in this week. So we ended up taking the pills.
It's so interesting that you bring that up because I feel like that's something people don't talk about is these logistical things and life goes on. Life is continuing to go on while you're going through these traumatic experiences. Yeah. And sometimes you have to figure that out from a logistic standpoint, which also just sucks.
Yeah. And while I am so grateful and totally recognize how much people would want to have a living child, that also complicates things, right? Now I not only have to know what my husband and I are doing, but how is my child going to be taken care of while I am going to need some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was really hard for me to take the time for myself that I need. And I didn't do as often as I probably should have.
Right.
But so I took the Cytotech and I remember begging my RE, because my clinic, it's pretty far away. When I was originally doing IVF, I was driving, I live in Pennsylvania, and driving to Maryland 3 hours at least, a lot. Luckily, since having Parker, they've opened up a clinic in Pittsburgh, but it's still almost 2 hours. And I was like, I cannot drive 2 hours to get the ultrasound that says my uterus is clear. I can't do that. I can't be in that room again. And like, can you please send orders to somewhere else? So they sent orders to a local hospital. And mm-hmm. I remember, you know, mind you, I live in a very small conservative town. Mm-hmm. And in the wake of all of these things where IVF and miscarriages and abortion is in the news every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultrasound techs asking me some weird questions about why I'm getting the ultrasound. Like, she clearly had not read my chart, or I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, I really just need you to give me an ultrasound and let me know if my uterus is clear after I've taken this cytotech. And she was like, where did you get that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
From my reproductive endocrinologist, because I'm having a miscarriage.
Yes.
He was like, okay. And I like sat on this table or bed, and I'm looking up, and there is a giant canvas picture of these beautiful triplets on the wall in front.
Oh, God.
While she is, you know, doing my ultrasound and being not very talkative or anything.
And judging you.
And yes. judging me for taking a yes. cytotech. Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was not my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, though, everything had passed, and
mm-hmm.
I was good. Didn't have to follow up anything. So that was good. But that was probably, they're all so hard. And now
right.
I lost six or something, yes. right? Like it's to the point where I literally have to count.
No, I know. It's, yeah.
And it was very hard. And I was probably the most upset and depressed that I've ever been. I'm a therapist. I go to my own therapy. I have
even right. before
I started doing these things and started going more and really talking to my therapist, and she was like, I know that you don't always think about medication, but like, you know, maybe it's time. And, you know, I talked about it with her and my doctor and like decided to start taking medication because mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't myself. I was not okay. Mm-hmm. I was having a really hard time getting better. And I needed to be able to mom, right? Like
yeah.
I had a toddler who
right.
doesn't know that all of these things are happening and why I'm right. sad. So,
and it's so great that you advocated for yourself. And I know, as you said, it's not easy for you sometimes to dip into that self-care bucket, but like it needed to happen.
Yeah. And I'm grateful, like it's helping, you know, with therapy and doing, talking about it and having mm-hmm. my support and my husband and everything, mm-hmm. but I was able to get to a better spot, and I wasn't sure. I knew we had two more embryos left, but I was like, I don't know if I can do this again
mm-hmm.
and possibly for the third time in a year.
Right.
No baby after a transfer.
Right. Yeah.
And it was a lot of discussing, but I also ultimately thought the world is a crazy place and I don't know what's going to happen. And I know that I want to be a mom and I love Parker so much that I want to have another baby and I don't want the world to tell me that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it this year.
Yes.
Before anything possibly changes, and I still have all of my rights to my embryos.
Yes.
So
such a good point.
Snuck it in there.
Yes. And
we did a fourth transfer in November of 24. And I am currently pregnant.
Oh my gosh. Again, full body chills.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 What a story. What a story. I have
no idea how I worked my last first trimester.
Yeah.
I was so sick, and I'm grateful. I've never been more grateful to be sick, right?
Right. Like, Right.
I don't want to be sick, but I also am so glad every day, because the more I'm sick, the more is like reassurance that.
Right. Something's happening.
Yeah. Baby's in there.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot, and I've every day have to say, today I am pregnant, and that's all I know, right? Like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And even though I'm getting to a place where I'm a little bit more confident, there's still that fear in the back of my head that at my next appointment, there won't be a heartbeat or something will happen, you know, even up until delivery, like until that baby is in my arms and I'm okay and the baby's okay. Like, I'm never going to be 100%, but I'm trying to lean into today. Today, everything's okay.
All right, friends, thank you so much for listening. And thanks again to Caitlin for sharing her story. I love you, Caitlin. I hope I see you at the next Rally IRL this summer. And guys, if you want to join Fertility Rally, please do come check us out on our website, which is fertilityrally.com. And you can follow us on Instagram, which is Fertility Rally. We have a lot of stuff coming up. We have a virtual event coming up soon. We have Rally IRL this summer. And we have 4 to 5 support groups every single week virtually. So you can join from anywhere in the world. We'd love to support you. Also, keep an eye out for my next book, Beautiful Bird. I can't wait for you guys to see it. And also check out the OG work of art book on my website at infertileafgroup.com. As always, follow me on Instagram for all the updates. And if you like this podcast and it's helped you, please pass it on. The more people hear it, the better. I just want to help as many people as I can and let them know that they are not alone. Thank you for listening. Talk to you guys next time.